same place next week. And until then, stay hydrated.
You are now tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. I am your host, Uncle Sam. Today is Tuesday, September 4th, 2018. This is the first episode of Season 5 of LFOD Radio. I have here with me today...
Tay-Tay.
Tia.
And we got Dukaron heading in. Shortly, he's got a new album out, just dropped yesterday, called Number 9, and we will be getting into that. I'm fired up. Season 5.
We Woo! Out here in Season 5, man.
Right?
That's crazy. We live to tell about this, man. We started the season off right.
Yep.
You know what I mean? With
Five
Dukaron.
Whole seasons. Wow.
Five.
Crazy.
For the real fans may know that it's a little bit more than that, but...
9.
We're sticking with 5.
20.
Season 20. This is Grey's Anatomy of Boston Hip Hop, bro.
The wild thing is we've only had the logo for just over 3 years. So that's kind of how I'm counting it.
Okay.
So if we count the logo, we're in season 3. But anyway, if you haven't been listening for 5 years, you want to go on iTunes, type in LFOD Radio. You want to go to LFODradio.com. Maybe you have Stitcher. You want to type in LFOD Radio on there. Or on Google Play or... pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast, and you want to check that out because this is one of very many episodes, and we've been chronicling the New England hip-hop scene since we started. It's a wild time up here. I would say a renaissance of sorts. Lots going on, and our basic mission is to not only document and provide record of what's been happening, but to create a platform to elevate these voices, these artists, and these individuals so that they can be heard. And now so they can be seen.
Exactly.
As we introduce video to the mix for season 5.
We got that video.
You can visualize us.
I know, because so much of it is visual.
For real.
Like last week, we had Boss City HD up here with Bakari JB talking about their hoop hop championship, and 90% of that communication, it still came out. It actually was a dope podcast. So we're going to drop that too. But it's still, that whole conversation was the head tilts added so much, you know, the way they added so much. So anyway, season 5, it's great. We just dropped the calendar for that. And if you did not get a chance to check that out, that is also on all our social media, which is all LFOD Radio. There's a little underscore under the Twitter, but it will pop up long before you get to that. Season 5 is crazy. We got Dukeron today. We have Rex coming in next week. That's probably his third podcast with us. So if you're a Rex fan, and we don't talk about the same thing twice. So
ever.
Nope.
Or three times.
Nope. So we got Rex. After that, we got Block to Booth. They're real dope. They're out of New York. Basically, they turned a Sprinter van into a recording studio. And they're going to pop up here, and we're going to record a record with somebody in that van after the show.
Oh, wow.
We got Suicide Squad coming on after that. Shout out the homies. They're a dope production group out here. And I guess we'll let it out. They're going to make a beat while we do our podcast. We're going to let them into our vaults. They're going to grab a record. They're going to sample something crazy. And then they're going to finish the show with a new beat. They got a record coming out in September as well. October, we kick things off with Violette. She's been patiently awaiting her arrival here as well. Just saw her at Branded Authentic on Friday night. She was singing. And then Ron Beatty coming up from North Carolina. He's going to be doing a listening experience here, so stay tuned.
Sweet.
It's going to be a public event, you know, a little listening party. So that's dope, getting the out-of-state love. After that, Billy Dean Thomas.
Billy Dean Thomas. Oh, my God. I love her.
You've been wanting to get her on here for quite a while.
Definitely. She's been asking, and I've been like, yo, like, holla at Sam. And I also been sweating her in that regard. So I was like, yo, you trying to be on the radio? She's like, yes. And then she kept hitting me up like, yo, I want to get on. And I'm like, yo, you got to hit up Sam. You need me to send you his number. I guess she got it now, so like, yeah. I'm really happy about that.
Please don't give anybody my number.
She emailed me.
I hit her up in August, and I was like, we need to get you on. What's your schedule like? And turns out she's got an album dropping on Halloween, I believe, and we got her the day before. Yeah, we book way out. We're booking for 19 now. But beyond that, after that, in November, we got the Women in Hip Hop. This is a forum, a panel, an idea I've been tossing around that I think needs to be spoken to. I talk to a lot of women that are managers, promoters, bookers, different industry roles. Artists are a whole other thing, but women just working in hip-hop and the different hurdles and experiences they face just because of their gender. And so I'm excited for that. We're going to have Jess, who manages Latrell James. We're going to have Amanda Shea, who needs no introduction. We're going to have Ariel Gray, a talented writer.
Oh, man, this is going to be
And we're going to have Lisa Finelli, who is... See the video. Tayshawn's making faces. So we're going to have... It'll
that
be a dope
be
conversation.
Lit.
After that, we got Tony White, the one and only, ever since he called in to talk to me about Pimp C and Big Crit. He moved up here from Maryland, and he's been like, he found us and has just been tuned in, and he makes music too, so he's got a project coming, and I'm excited to have him in here because he's always dope on the phone, and he's called in more than once, so that's going to be a fun one. And then we're wrapping up the season sorry, we're wrapping up the year. We're wrapping up part one of season five with the State of New England Hip Hop Forum, parts one and two. Dart, Bedlam, Tim are confirmed coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yep. You know M. Dot will be in the building. Hopefully we get Oompa and Latrell again for
that forum?
The artist size. What's that?
Oh, wait, oh, like for the actual, like, you know, management portion of that? Because that would have been, like, that would be dope too.
What do you mean?
Like, if they were, like, if all of them were, like, you know, Tim, Oompa, Latrell, and, like, Dart, everybody, like, that would be super dope too.
Yeah, we break it up into two spots. We do the industry panel first. We hear from Dart, Tim, and Bedlam, and this will be the third year having that group together. And they basically talk about what the industry is looking like here from an infrastructure, from a, you know, big business point of view, what Boston can do to get on the level of some of these other markets. And then we have the artists come through the next week, and they kind of respond and give their point of view on things, which sometimes aligns, sometimes it's different, because it's the same coin, different sides, you know. And the artist one, but we've had the same part one has been the same every year in terms of guests. We did have Justice Bourne from Rec Shop Movement on the first one. He may be back this year. And then Latrell and MDOT have been on every year for the artistry one. Last year, we swapped Oompa out for Lotus. Maybe Lotus will make his return. I don't know. But that's been cool, too, because you get to see these artists progress year by year. So not if they're going to speak on it, we're also going to speak about their careers when they come back. So it's been cool to see them level up in the process. Because, I mean, you know, you hear the names, you know what they've done, you know, in the last year. So very excited for that. But with that being said, I think it's about time to play a Dukeron record.
Of course.
And get ready to bring him on. This is off his brand new album. This is the title track. It's called My Number 9. You are tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio. Oh, and if you're an artist yourself, submissions at LFODradio.com. That way Tay doesn't have to give you my number. Submissions at LFODradio.com.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Send us clean records.
He won't.
Listen up. My number 9. She said I couldn't make you feel like a princess. Cool, I make you feel like a queen.
Queen.
You see, I'm kinda slick like that.
Like that.
I understood that her mind was more important than her physical. That could fall right back. That doesn't mean I don't wanna kiss her. Sapiosexual. And I think that our minds align our hearts on track. You feel that?
Feel that?
Correct me if I'm wrong.
If I'm wrong.
Nah, I don't misjudge with these facts. The coincidence and how I feel when you mouth in the Spanish lyrics. Back in me more than Ito now, isn't that right? Remember? I translated that to you the other night. And I swear I could see into your soul. Now that's a bold statement. Every state of being with you is worth its weight in gold. And I wanna make you feel special. And I wanna make you feel different. Not different from the other guys been with. The ones that cause you strife. I wanna make you feel invincible. Like you, larger than life. My mission, a clear vision. Just like you done to me. And I don't say it. But I should, I was caged. Now I really was. And in the last couple months, look at what you done. I had tango, I swear I was fucked up. But here you came along, cream soda in your arms. And I can't justify one reason why. Why this thing could go wrong. Now wishful thinking, speaking it into existence. Like my fantasy reality exists in the same existence. I've been gifted, it's hard to wrap it up. So I stay present. In my persistence, willing to do anything without the need of commission. And ultimately, I had my eyes on you. From the beginning of this rendition. My number 9. my number nine. And I just wanna love you. 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 My number nine. My number nine. My number nine.
Number nine, we are back on Live Free or Die Radio. We got Dukeron.
For your mind.
What's happening, buddy?
What it is, people. Thanks for having me back again. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time coming. This is the first Real Real podcast. You've been in and out. You launched Extra Bars.
Yes, I did, which I'm so happy that people actually started taking up on it. It's kind of dope.
That became a real thing, man.
I know, because I came here ready, and I was like, I was so used to it, and I was like, I got to bang it out real quick.
Yep, so anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, hashtag Extra Bars. We got Dukeron.
Extra
and
Bars.
Pretty much every extra, MC extra. After you, we made them rap.
That's dope.
Everybody even if they didn't want to. I think we let Davon get a break, but everyone but Davon.
Everybody got a rap.
Everybody got a rap. Yo, congrats on the new album, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. It's getting a lot of great feedback, especially considering the direction that I went in with this one.
That was a question we had. So yes. It's a completely new sound.
Yeah.
And we're wondering why.
The reason why is because I always knew I could. It was just a matter of having a reason or something to push me to that. It's like back in January, things halted with somebody who I had in my life. And that person always motivated me to always be the best me. So I always wanted to take vocal lessons. I always wanted to start producing. So that, maybe I think right at the beginning of February, I signed up for vocal lessons. I went and I spent like a grand on my studio, like just so I can get started up and whatnot. And I just started singing. Like I always knew I had melodies and I always knew I had the ability to train my voice. Because there's some people who are natural born singers and there's some people who, you know, it's there, but it needs to be taught how to be used because your voice is an instrument. It's crazy how much I've learned, and it's also helped my rapping as well, because now when I'm performing on stage, my vocal control is a lot better.
Using your whole diaphragm.
Yeah, and it's different, but that's kind of like the reason why, and I also feel like it's being able to bring me a new audience that I didn't have before. I felt like my last project, it was broad but not kind of broad enough, and this project is specific but it's broad. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys.
Like broad, like how
broad in the terms of the audience that it can attract. As opposed to my last project, I felt like it was, not that I didn't love it, I love it, it's my home basis, but I felt like it was kind of like me testing the waters and me seeing what went well, what didn't go well. And then nine just came. And
yeah.
I recorded it, this whole entire project in my house. Myself produced on the project. I only wrote two songs on there. The rest of them were freestyles, which was pretty dope.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So I would put the beat on, and then I would freestyle it, and then I would sit down, and then I would write out the freestyle. That way I can obviously say it correctly on the record.
Oh, so like one take. You didn't even retake it?
There's two songs that I didn't retake on. I didn't do a retake on New York, and I didn't do a retake on Connecticut.
Okay.
Those are those two songs I didn't do retakes on.
I liked Connecticut.
Yeah, I like Connecticut
too.
A lot.
I like
yeah.
A lot.
Connecticut is
it's like one of my top three.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite tracks.
I was actually gonna ask the question about who produced it, but because we had a discussion about this the first time that you came on off air, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we was talking about producing, and you was like, yo, I got Machine and I got this and that and a third, yeah. And like honestly, like Machine is like so worth it. It was like you told me it was like $200 something.
Yeah, I paid
like,
$250. Well, no, I paid $200, and it was by technicality it was used, but it was like brand spanking new.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't produce that. A producer named Usei produced that track. I produced Rockingham.
Mm-hmm.
I produced that track. That's probably the only song that I produced on. But the rest of the songs were produced by that other producer named Usei. He produced, what, 70% of the project. His beats just fit the vibe and what I was going for. Like, in the process, I recorded 20 songs before I chose those 9.
Yeah.
And I did, like I said, mixed, recorded, all that in 6 months.
Nice. And you did Brother Glass hold down the mastering, or did he mix it, or how much?
Shout out to Brady, Surefire. He did the mixing, and he did the mastering. Shout out to him. He's an amazing producer. I mean, yeah, he's a producer, engineer. He does the works. He does mad things, but... he has an amazing ear. He knows how to make me sound really, really, really good. I think that my project sounds like radio quality, which is what I was going for.
Yeah, definitely the sound. Yeah, it sounds, I don't even know how to put it, but you're right. It sounds like a package thing. It definitely sounds like you found the sound on this.
Yes.
I know, and it's dope that there was a reason for it. You didn't just do it because... you felt like, you know, you were supposed to sound like that. It was inspired.
Yeah, it was definitely inspired. And it was kind of like a bittersweet thing doing this project, because it was like the final wrap up or the possible ending of a chapter in my life. So it was like, I'm so happy, I'm so proud of it, that it's out and that I put it all together and all that. But at the same time, it's kind of like, is this it? You know? It's like, is this like the final thing with this chapter in my life? Like, I don't want it to be the last paragraph written. But if so, I think it's an amazing way for it to go.
So it's more or less of like, this is kind of like, this is more of a searching point, I would say. Like, this is kind of like a branch into like new inspiration, right?
The music or the project?
Well, both.
Music-wise, it's a branch into new types of music that I will be doing and new types of things that I will be trying to aspire to do, especially because, like you said, it is so different, so... there's so many more different things that I can do with it, you know? So it is that in terms of what the project means, it's more of a personal reflection. I felt like before when I was in situations like these, I really didn't live while I dwelled. And with this, I've been able to grow, and I've been able to kind of define certain things, which if you don't know why, if you don't understand yourself in situations, then you're always going to be thinking. And if you don't say what you want to say, then you're always going to have those feelings of regrets, and I needed to be able to express myself. I needed, if I can't say it to who I would like to say it, I would like for the world to know it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay, that does actually. And then I would ask you this. What did you learn making this record, and what do you want others to get from it? Is it even for others to get anything from it, or is it just... you know, I wish you could hear this, and it's really for you, but...
it's both. because I feel like a lot of the things that I touched upon is a lot of things that people go through. One big thing with this project, and that I made sure of it, which can be difficult, is that is so monotonous in terms of subject matter. So I needed to make sure that I touched upon different points, that everything didn't sound the same.
Yeah.
That it was all different parts of one big body of work, but none of them interconnected with each other. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. If you listen to the project, I don't tend to repeat myself much. The subject matter in every single song is very different, but still the same.
Okay. Yeah, the focal point of it is the same, but you're saying different. Okay, yeah.
Exactly. It's like when a teacher assigns you an essay, right? And you have to write about that specific subject. The teacher's going to know if you keep repeating yourself about the same exact thing. It's going to sound really dull, and it's going to sound really monotonous, and it's not going to hold its weight. So with this, I had to make sure that everything that I spoke about was with the same focal point, but was able to express different parts of it and how it needed to be expressed without it sounding the same.
Got you. With that being said, we're going to get into another record.
Yeah.
But for folks that are tuned in, they want to follow up with you, it's at Dukaran, FYM on everything.
Yes, Dukaran, FYM, for your mind.
This album's called Number 9. It's Dukaran on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
Spotify,
SoundCloud, Tidal, Deezer, the works.
Shout out Deezer. Hey, you gotta have it on Deezer, man.
Everywhere. You can Shazam my stuff too, so holla.
That's what's up. This is Connecticut. We'll be back after this with more from Dukaran. You're tuned into Live Free or Die Radio.
Selfish. I can't help it. If you're looking for the word that means caring about someone beyond all rationality and wanting them to have everything they want, no matter how much it destroys you, it's love. And when you love someone, you don't stop, ever. Even when people roll their eyes or call you crazy, even then, especially then, you don't give up, because if I give up...
We are back on Live Free or Die Radio. We got Dukeron harmonizing in the background.
For your mind.
All right, so you was talking a lot about how you feel like with this album, you had to dwell and, I mean, you had to grow rather than dwell on mm-hmm. things. And, you know, I feel like in comparison to your last album, this one is more looking on an outward situation rather than looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like you had to make that shift to be able to, like, make this album, like, look more at whatever situation that you had or, like, whatever was going on rather than looking at yourself?
I did feel like I needed to make that shift. With the person who I had in my life and whatnot, she taught me a lot with not setting expectations,
mm-hmm.
which when you don't set expectations for yourself, then there's nothing for you to lose, really.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I was kind of able to take that and look at the whole entire situation, and because she taught me that, and I think it was something good to live by, because, all right, let me explain. All right, one day she sent me this video. Mm-hmm. It was called How to Love Genuinely. And the whole purpose of the video is that when you love someone, there's a big difference between love and attachment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Attachment says, I love you, so I want you to make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Love says, I love you, so I want you to be happy. And with understanding that and understanding the types of lessons that she's taught me and, you know, how she viewed life, which... It had a great effect on me because it allowed me to grow a lot, you know? And with that being said, I had to take all of that into consideration. And I looked at the situation that I was in and I had two options. I can sit there and I can be mad about the situation. I could be depressed about the situation. There's a lot of things that I could have been about the situation. And I could have been about that in that situation. But it was whether or not I was going to use that and let it fuel me. Mm-hmm. Or is that was going to drag me down. Mm-hmm. So I had to use it to fuel me. The dope thing is that, like, she was a musician, too. My number 9, she chose that beat for me.
Hmm.
So, and it's like... I had to get out what I was feeling and allow myself to grow and look at myself in a different manner, because if I did what I did before and if I acted like the way that I acted on my old album and if I was still portraying myself like that, then I should be feeling like that. Because at one time and point, it's kind of like that one time shame on you, two times shame on me, it really does come into play. And when you get to a situation that you feel like you might get back to where you were before, and you feel that and you know that because it's a familiar feeling, it's not like it's something that is anonymous to your psyche. So you have that decision to either take it upon yourself or, for lack of words, let it kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to look at myself in a different way. I had to accept things differently. I had to not have those expectations, because, like, one thing that I've learned from this is that when you put expectations on people, not only does
it lead them to fail you, but it also leads them to fail. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's a great lesson that I've learned. And learning how to control feelings and express them has been a big outcome. And this project is proof of it.
So do you just like, you know, bouncing off of what you said, do you feel like you don't put any expectations for anyone anymore?
I feel like I can have expectations for people. It's just whether or not those expectations are expectations that's going to make me feel let down. I'm not saying that I don't expect the one to like love me to do certain things for me and whatnot, but I don't expect the one to love me to be my savior. Like, you need to be able to save yourself.
Yes.
Like, it's when you're in a relationship with someone or when you're trying to achieve something with somebody, if you guys are not on the same page, if you guys with yourself, also if you're not with together, if you don't feel like you're mentally there, if you don't feel like you're 100%, then in the long run, the person's your crutch. And what are you going to do when you no longer have a crutch?
Right.
You're going to succumb to exactly what you were before without that person. So it's like now I kind of like I'm loving myself more. Mm-hmm. And I know what I can bring to the table, and I know that what to look for. And not saying that this person didn't have any of those things at all. That's not. But it's more of a realization of what to look for and what to expect and what not to expect.
Well, yeah, and if you're coming into a situation, whether you know it or not, looking for a crutch, you put that person in that role, and like you said, that's not going to work.
No, it's not
for either of you.
It's not fair. Like it really isn't fair to you or that other person at all. Like, and people do that a lot. That's why there's a lot of people in relationships and situationships that they're not doing well, and they stay in there merely for the fact of comfort and the fact that this person provides them with one thing that they feel like they lack.
Mm. Mm.
And it's not a fun feeling to feel like that at all. Like, I've learned the big difference between need and want. And I want this person, for sure. Hell yeah. Do I need this person so I can be 100 and still live a good life and all that stuff? No. But may this person add to how I feel, to my happiness, and elevate already where I'm at? Yeah. Hell yeah. But I know that I'm there. Mm. I don't need them to get there.
Yeah.
It's just the whipped cream on top. Yeah. You feel me?
You feel like you can heal while you're like with someone, or do you have to be alone?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. I'm confused.
Wait, are you asking me or are you telling me?
I'm asking.
Oh, I said,
do you feel like...
Okay, my fault. I heard that incorrectly.
Sorry.
I heard one word. That's why I was like, oh, yeah. I agree with that. But go.
No, I was saying, like, do you feel like you can heal, like, you know, with somebody, or do you feel like you need to be, like, alone to be able to fully heal?
I feel like codependency shouldn't be there at all. Mm-hmm. And see, it's funny because I help someone get to a certain state.
Yeah.
Where they can flourish.
Yeah.
And that makes me so happy that I did that. Like, I'm so happy that I was able to do that. And then when they get to a certain point, they kind of need to be let go in a way to see if they can do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer to that question is I'm split on it.
Yeah.
I feel like there are people that sometimes they do need certain people in their lives to help them overcome certain situations, so then maybe they can get to that point where they can become the best them.
Well, because in a way, you might have needed this to go how it went for you to get here.
For you to get there. Yeah. Yes, 1,000%. I agree. But then I also agree with the fact that there are some people who, when they do that, they tend to do that, and they tend to do that to a fault that when that person is no longer there, like I said earlier, it's redundant.
Yeah.
You know? It's redundant behavior. It's just going to happen again and again. And again and again. And sometimes those people need to be alone to find themselves and then invite another partner or another party in to do well with them, you know? Mm.
It's definitely not... humans have been wondering about this through song and play and everything for thousands of years, so it's definitely... complicated, but
yeah,
I think we're on the right path, at least in this room.
Yeah, it's all personality based.
The thing you said about expectations, though, because yeah, detachment is huge, not getting attached to certain outcomes or really anything, because it's totally unpredictable. Life is totally unpredictable. And expectations, it's funny because it kind of rolls into this album, because so Tia's been bumping Home and she's been a Duke Ron fan. And so some of your fans, their expectations, if they had tied those to you, they would have been confused by this new album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you say to, so it's good to know going forward, guys, Duke Ron's album can sound like anything.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Because even us, like we kind of, like being real, like you kind of snuck us in here. If you hadn't rapped first... You know, we booked this and we were like,
yeah
we got Duke Ron coming through. And then we heard the record and it was, you know, it was different.
Yeah.
And you're here now. But what, like, how would you, I don't know, address those expectations? Like, what do you have to say to those fans? Or to, because Tia was talking about it and she was like, oh, this is completely different than what, as a fan, I was expecting from
Duke Ron. What I can say is that art is called art for a reason, and it doesn't have a subject matter. It doesn't have a face. It doesn't have an expectation of what you should expect. It's just something that someone creates. So, with a person like me, who I dabble in spoken word poetry, I rap, my artistry is not just conformed to one type of thing.
Mm.
So, I understand, it's like, oh man, this is crazy. But I felt like it was, oh man, this is crazy in a damn, this is fire kind of way, you know? I think I strayed away in terms of what you guys wanted to hear in terms of my sound, but I think I'm still me. I think I'm still Duke Ron. I still think I still have my same phloetic ways in my songs.
Absolutely.
It's just more on the, like, I'm in this project, I feel like I'm 70 like percent R&B-ish type vibe and like 30% hip hop.
Right.
Because I still did try to, you know, intertwine some things, like with Canada, say, you know. I sing on the whole entire hooks, I sing on the bridge at the end, but the whole entire verse is me rapping.
Yeah.
And then Boston, you got Boston, which half of the verse is singing, the other half is me rapping. So I was still trying to give,
bars. It's interesting because, like you said, you freestyled this, but before your pen was clearly the focus. So, like, on every level, it's a different, it's still you, but it's a different
experience, it's a different type on every. Of me. And when you do something that's freestyle, it really is freestyle. You really have no control of where it's going. Like, that song, Connecticut, which is a lot of people's favorites. I started it when I put the beat on. I went, 'cause I'm high all the time, and then I said, I can't get you off my mind. And then that drop came in, and that drop dictated the whole entire song. Because I listened to the beat for about 15 seconds, and I was like, all right, this beat is fire. I like this beat. Let me do something to it.
So these are your first time hearing the beat, too, that you're doing these?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
So when all I right. did that, and that drop goes, and it goes, you know, that mm-hmm. F me. It says F me, right?
Yeah.
When that happens, I was like, instant change of where I was going. And then that's where the rest of the song developed. And it's kind of dope that happened that way, because it was a mistake.
Yeah.
That it ended up where it ended at. Like, it wasn't supposed to go that way. But I'm happy because it ended up being definitely one of my favorite songs.
That's what's up. Well, we want to play one more before you get out of here.
Cool, cool.
What are you feeling?
Rodeo Drive.
Rodeo Drive.
Because I'm out to LA to record the video next week. So.
Can we ask you this question?
Yes.
Every song
has a different place.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that question. So every single place on this project is somewhere where her and I went, except for Rodeo Drive. Mm-hmm. Rodeo Drive is
that's where you met.
Rodeo Drive is the only place that we didn't go to. And that's why the song goes, "Why aren't you here?"
Mm-hmm.
In essence.
Okay, so it's like a bucket list thing, right?
Huh?
It's like a bucket list thing, right?
Well, traveling was like a thing with us. So like, you know, when you travel with somebody, like, you really get to know if you're feeling them or not, or and this and whatnot. And we traveled a lot. Like, Canada was the first trip. Then I got to Canada, went to Connecticut. We were in Connecticut, and we're like, you know what? Let's go to New York. So we went to New York. Then we went to DR, and Rockingham was the mall where I met her at, which is in New Hampshire. 520 is 520. And then my number 9 is pretty self-explanatory. It's just the intro for the project. But yeah, so that's why it's named like that.
Wait, so I might be lost because you said it's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's not.
Okay.
What is the number 9?
My number 9? I thought you meant the song. 9. So are you guys familiar with numerology?
A little bit. I know 7 is the God number.
8
so, are you an 8?
No.
Okay.
Wait, I'm a 4.
What
I'm
is
a builder
eight?
Or
you're
whatever.
You're 4?
Right.
What's 8?
8 is wealth and prosperity. I get that number a lot. But.
So there's 12 numbers in numerology. 1 through 9, and then 11, 22, and 33, which are super numbers. So just like in astrology, same way that a Taurus goes very well with a Scorpio. In numerology, you have pairing up of numbers as well. She's a 9. I'm a 3. We're a perfect match. And she put me onto this and onto numerology and all that stuff. And then I was able to dive deep into it, because it's, If you guys look into it, which you guys should, it's way more defining of your character than what astrology is, if you believe in that kind of stuff. But if you don't believe in that kind of stuff and you still read the things about numerology, you're like, hold on.
I think I'm a 4. And it was funny because when I got put on and I looked at it, it was right around when 24 and 24 is happening. All these other things that the numbers all kind of trace back to that. And
what's going with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really intertwined a lot with people, with who people are. So I kind of like numerology a little bit more than I do astrology. And it's very unique because it's like, you know, my number 9.
All right. So when we're back next week, we're going to get all our numbers, guys. We're going to talk about it.
1 through 12.
But we're back here with Rex. We're going to tell him his number. And I can already tell how that's going to go. And so this is Rodeo Drive. This is off my number 9. No, it's off number 9.
Yeah.
Is it just called 9?
Yeah, it's just called 9.
So this is Rodeo Drive. It's off 9. Brand new project by Dukeron. It's out now everywhere at Dukeron FYM. And you are tuned in to Live Free or Die Radio.
Tell me why.
Tell me.
Whoa. Why you not here by my side?
By my side.
Whoa. Driving down Rodeo Drive. With you on my mind. So tell me why.
Whoa,
why you not here by my side?
Whoa,
I don't wanna hear goodbye.
Whoa,
with you I just wanna
fly.
Whoa.
Do you ever think about me on the low? I'm in LA, I still got you in my dome. Property in my mind, I guess you own. Why am I on this adventure all alone? Doesn't matter all the smoke that I done blown. Still think about you early in the morning. I need you more to hear you roar, to see your soul. I'm at your door.
Whoa. Why you not here by my side?
By my side.
Driving down Rodeo Drive. With you on my mind. So tell me why.
Whoa.
Why you not here by my side?
Whoa.
I don't wanna hear goodbye.
Whoa,
with you I just wanna fly. Whoa,
and I just wanna take you home. And I just wanna bring you home.
Please come home.
And I want you to be my world.
My world.
And I want you to see the world.
With me,
with me, with me, with me. With me. With me,
oh,
be the world to me,
oh,
come stay with me,
oh,
see the world with me,
oh. Whoa, why you not here by my side?
Driving down Rodeo Drive.
Tell me why.
Please just tell me why.
Why you not here by my side. I don't wanna hear goodbye.
Tell me why.
With you I just wanna fly.
And we are back. Live Free or Die Radio.
Back again.
Big back.
Like we never left. Back. So Dukeron.
For your mind.
First of all, thank you for
thank
coming
you.
Through.
I appreciate it.
Blessing season
me.
5. Getting it going.
You know.
A little love talk.
Yep. A little.
So I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Cool.
It might be kind of messy to end with, but
that's
we're
cool.
Going for it.
That's fine. We like messy.
So you're singing now, and one thing I've been curious about is how you feel about singing in hip hop, and whether, because I've been on a few different sides of this.
Okay.
Do you feel like in 2018 an MC needs to have that in their arsenal? Do you feel like there is no singing in hip hop? Do you feel like it's in them? You said your problem, you would consider 70% R&B, so this is one that you kind of answered, mm-hmm. but how do you feel? Because there's people who feel like if you're singing, like, it's straight up not rap still. Mm-hmm. Then there's other people who it's like, yo, it's 2018, like, you gotta have something going on. How do you feel about it?
Okay, so this is how I feel about it. I feel like singing in hip-hop has always been done. Mm-hmm. Like, forever. Like, you can literally track it back. Even back, like, to, like, the Run DMC days, like, certain hooks that they have, they were melodic.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just straight raps. It's just people started to emphasize it more, and people wanted to do it more. Like look at Lil Baby. I rock with Lil Baby hard.
I like the new project.
I like Lil Baby a lot, and, like, his flow is singy-songy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still rapping. Like, at the end of the day, that's still rapping. You can't tell me that you're going to give Bryson Tiller Lil Baby's verses and have him do it.
Right.
You can't. So that's my take on it. I feel like it is still hip-hop. I think it's part of the culture. I feel like the culture has grown and has expanded. There's still your rappers that are still doing great, and they still do the whole, you know, hardcore hip-hop. Like, look at Tech N9ne. Still rakes in $8 million in its profit because everything is to him. He's under nobody. Like, it's not like it's the other part of what people want to hear. It doesn't happen. It's just what their culture is like, and the state of the culture is, yeah, that is hip-hop. And for people who are against it, it kind of really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because it's okay if you're against the grain. At the end of the day, the grain's going to be the grain, and that's how it is right now, you know?
Right. There's something to be said about labels anyway, mm-hmm. but all right.
And what, you think they're pushing that?
No, I mean, like, labeling things anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. I was about to say, yeah, because labels push things all the time, but then...
But then, yeah, and the label as well. Cool. Well, the labels create the labels to sell you something.
To sell you something.
Right, so...
But then that's why I like people like Russ. A lot of people don't like Russ.
I liked him till I saw him in Boston.
Oh, you didn't like his performance?
Yeah, he was wicked late. Oh, blamed it on an Uber.
See, the performance that I went to, it was...
He came across as a super
fire. It was actually
diva
in Connecticut. That's why I went to Connecticut to go see the Russ show, and it was a fire show.
Oh, man. All right. Shout out to Russ. Yeah, it was funny, dude, because I was with someone who was a huge Russ fan who put me on, and I watched him lose that person as a fan in real time because he hopped up on stage with the antics, and it was like, well, another hero gone.
It's. I mean, that's what they say. You don't want to meet your heroes.
No.
Because then your ideals about them change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you had expectations. But if you just realize they're just another human being
who can be
creative,
multifaceted, and all that.
I like that word. To master that.
So we're gonna get out of here. Thank you again.
For your mind.
Duke Aran at DukaranFym on everything. Nine out now.
Yes.
Everywhere. This has been the first episode of season 5 of LFOD Radio. We'll be up on iTunes Wednesday. Everywhere else, same time. We're back next Tuesday, 7 p.m. with Rex. He's got a new album coming out as well. 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Live free.
Shout out to LFOD Radio. Tune in. You heard me? It's your boy Duke Aran for your mind.
All right.
There you go.
Nice job. Drop for you.